The Money Show.
Business Unusual.
With Colin Cullis.
I said that all, and I've got to get used to the funky new jingles and stuff you see, Colin Cullis. Now, tell me about Robin Hood and Little John walking through the forest. That's not the story you want to tell, but there is a connection, isn't there?
There is. It's going to be very hard for me to try and describe the complex world of investing in a few minutes. So instead, I thought I would try and tell this as a fairy tale, as a bedtime story for business people, because it has villains and dramatic events and heroes and all the rest of it, and hopefully an ending that will fit with a useful fairy tale. And the story begins with an even older story about Robin Hood, a mythical or possibly a real character, lived in the Sherwood Forest with a band of merry men that would steal simply to support themselves. But in this forest and in this kingdom and area was the horrible Sheriff of Nottingham that was treating the poor people in the area very badly. And so instead, rather than just robbing for themselves, they opted to only focus on robbing the rich and then give their or some of their proceeds to the poor that needed it. In this way, they became hated by the sheriff and the wealthy, but they didn't see themselves as thieves as much as agents for redistributing wealth that has otherwise only been available to the rich. And I'll return to that story in a moment, because about a century ago, we have a story of a couple of men that we featured on Business Unusual a few weeks ago that saw that the growing interest in investing in and buying stocks in companies in New York favored those that had specific information about each of the companies were doing. And so they saw information as being this really important aspect to allow everyone to benefit, and set about creating a list that became known as the Dow Jones Industrial Index that stock exchanges around the world have emulated and copied to report on the performance of companies in a way that is transparent and fair to give everybody who would like to make a good investment and benefit from the potential profit from it a fair chance at doing it. And so now, a century later, our two stories combine when two software engineers working on very sophisticated software that allowed large brokerages to effectively process massive volumes of trades quickly and cheaply decided to start their own company. Because until then, most investors would have used established brokerage, and for each trade, they would need to pay a fee. The trade these days may cost almost nothing because the machines do it. But the brokerage would charge as much as $10 for those trades, and some still do. So when you're placing big orders and you have large portfolios, those fees are not an issue. But for a small investor, that's a significant cost. And so these two, in founding Robin Hood, said we are going to get rid of the need to have a lot of money in your account to open it. And they reduced the fees to zero. Unlimited trades, no cost. Now, that for a much younger trader, using a very simple app, seemed like an amazing thing. So like the Robin Hood of yore, that app gave otherwise people who had not been able to get access to, I think, what you could describe as the best wealth creation tool we've ever created, any access. And it was typically reserved for those who had money to only make even more. That might be the end of our Robin Hood story, because Robin Hood, the company founded in 2015, went live in sort of 2015, has grown to have millions of users. I think somewhere in the region of 6 million users now. They have made billions of dollars in trades. And while they haven't listed yet, they are regarded or valued at an impressive $8 billion. They are the classic unicorn. But bedtime stories probably aren't that much fun if there isn't a bit of drama. And man, does this story have it in spades. And I'll start with a very contemporary one, because just before the pandemic, millions of people in the U.S., and Robin Hood is only available to people who are investing in the U.S., but there are other similar options that have been created around the world that copy the similar things. In fact, regular brokerages have seen the potential value of this innovation/disruption and reduced those fees. But back then, certainly in the beginning part of the pandemic, most people were thinking Robin Hood is the place to go. And so despite many people having lost their jobs, they needed to find an extra way to hustle for some extra money. Similarly, there were a lot of people who would have lots of fun betting on sport. And of course, as you know, all of the sports stopped. And others would love to go down and spend some money at a casino and having some gambling. Casinos, too, were closed down. But the one market that was still operating was the stock exchange. And while you might have thought that the pandemic would have sent it into a deep recession, after an initial crash, the opposite appeared to happen, and the stocks rose and kept rising. Now, on that basis, for somebody looking to get access to some cash and seeing this opportunity with lots of coverage of how the S&P and the Dow Jones and just about any company you could choose in the American stock market, specifically the high-flying techno-related ones were all increasing in value, it saw a lot of young investors wanting to jump in and make those investments. But they didn't necessarily know about how to go about it. And so typically, younger people, they don't go to your traditional Financial Times or Wall Street Journal for this sort of stuff. They went to Reddit and they went to YouTube. And Reddit in particular has a bizarre thread called Wall Street Bets. It too was founded many years ago, 2012. And like the name suggests, it wasn't for the faint-hearted. Posts would talk about how big risky positions they would take. And again, most of these bets, these positions they take, weren't on buying a stock. That was too traditional. You would take positions going long or short on a share where you could leverage your position for massive profits or huge losses. And some of the most popular posts aren't just the ones where people have made a huge profit. They're actually the ones where people have lost huge amounts of cash. Not that that makes any sense to me, but for some reason, people really wanted to celebrate the you only live once, bet everything, go all in, and hope for the best, even though they had no idea what they were betting on or what actually would happen in the market. And one user in particular, as a story I can mention, he took $7,000 just before the pandemic started and figured with the pandemic coming that the S&P would fall. With his $7,000 in the space of a few weeks, a couple of months, he had made himself $100,000. He didn't figure anything would be changing, so he took that money and invested again, shorting the S&P, and got a return of $600,000, all the while letting people know what he was doing, which of course just got more people to say, well, then I'm going to do the same thing. To his credit, he then did decide to take $100,000 out as profit and then invested the rest, as everybody else eagerly was watching to see what would happen next in this incredible tale of the investor. I forget his name now, but Reddit has got some crazy names. And unfortunately, rather than the S&P falling any further, it did the opposite. It started to go up. And he had lost everything, effectively, except that $100,000, and now is sort of a mythical, fabled character on the subreddit for the rest of his life, I guess. And one of the reasons why it did turn around was that massive stimulus that was released by the U.S. government to companies and to most Americans. That in itself, and those stories that were coming out of the likes of Reddit and then YouTube, where people wanting to find out how to invest. YouTube effectively is the world's second largest search engine. So when you want to find out how to do something, you simply go and type it in onto YouTube and you will not find a shortage. There are hundreds of channels and thousands of videos telling you about how to go about investing. Some of them are very good. Many of them are simply people looking to drum up support for some or other probably ludicrous share to get people to go and buy it where they have already taken a position to either see that it'll go up or down or mess with the markets in some respect. And a little anecdote from yesterday, John McAfee, who made a lot of money in creating security software back in the day, sold it all, became really fantastically wealthy, and is kind of very strange. He was arrested yesterday and he's facing extradition. Strange. Yeah. He was pumping all sorts of cryptocurrencies on Twitter, telling people, hey, this is going to be a great thing. You definitely want to buy it, but not disclosing that he was paid to do so or that he had already invested a lot of money in them, waiting for his fans or those willing to believe what he was saying on Twitter to go and buy them, only for him to dump them and take the rewards. So you can see how it's a very fraught place for a young investor to think they're going to be sailing their ships or trying to slay dragons or find prince and princesses in this very scary sort of world. And this is where it comes back to Robinhood in particular. Despite, I think, the laudable goals of wanting to get more access for young investors, they've kind of gone light on ensuring that everybody knows what they're doing before they get given access. The app itself really makes it feel like you're playing a game. There are all sorts of crazy rewards and colorful things. And as you see your value of your prices go up and down, it's all beautifully animated. And it really makes you feel like I just got to keep doing this more and more and more. But I'm pretty sure you and most everybody else you feature on the show would say short-term investing is not for somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. And certainly options on short terms come with a huge amount of risk. We might love and watch the movie The Big Short and think, well, why couldn't I do the same? But the truth is, they are very unlikely for most people to be able to replicate that stuff. And so now we get to the point that says, you know, is this going to end as a fairy tale or as a horrible, scary two kids walking in the woods, finding a lovely gingerbread castle and thinking we're set for life? only to find there's a nasty stove waiting inside for them as to what will happen. And here again, a story yesterday with Congress releasing its report on what Facebook and Google and Amazon and Apple were doing with their very powerful positions kind of comes into play for what happens with little investors. Because like so often before, a wonderful innovation driven through technology and investments from very powerful established interests, and Google and the like are big investors already in Robinhood, attract a bunch of new users hoping to make a fast buck or to get access to something that otherwise they didn't have access to. And as Congress has found, that isn't sometimes always in the best interest of the users, and regulations are almost always required to protect people. And the most tragic version of this was a little earlier this year in June. A user had taken a position on options. He'd managed to get a massive margin, so a small investment. He took a call, and the investment went south. And without realizing that it wasn't a finished deal yet, he thought that the hundreds of thousands of dollars he had lost, he would now have to repay. And as a young 20-something without a job and not many prospects, he took his own life. And there's no way to fix that. The platform themselves have changed the way you can do those things. So perhaps something good would come out of it. But it just shows that in each and every one of these scenarios we've seen, without the application for understanding the risk and putting those regulations in place to protect people, these things always have a very scary ending. And so hopefully what this one will lead to is, without taking too long or any more tragedies like that, there will be some great initiatives to give people access for governments and the industry themselves to ensure that people will be able to get low fees and safeguards against unnecessary risk. And finally, that the investment industry will ensure that everybody gets to benefit from the financial wizardry that is the investment market, the stock markets, and the things that have created so much wealth for humanity for all this time.
Colin Cullis, thank you very much.